Today we're starting a book called It Starts With Us by Colleen Hoover. Chapter 1. Atlas. The way asshole was misspelled in red paint across the back door of Bibbs makes me think of my mother. She would always insert a brief pause between syllables, making it sound like two separate words. I wanted to laugh every time I heard it, but it was hard to find the humor in a child when I was always the recipient of the hurled insult. Asshole, Darren mutters. Had to be a kid. Most adults know how to spell that word. You'd be surprised. I touch the paint, but it doesn't stick to my fingers. Whoever did this must have done it right after we closed last night. Do you think the misspelling was intentional? He asks. Are they suggesting you're so much of an asshole that you're a whole entire ass? Why do you assume they were targeting me? They could have been targeting you. Or Brad. It's your restaurant. Darren takes off his jacket and uses it to pry a large shard of exposed broken glass out of the window. Maybe it was a disgruntled employee. Do I have disgruntled employees? Can't think of a single person on payroll who would do something like this. The last person I had quit was 5 months ago, and she left on good terms after getting a college degree. There was that guy who did the dishes before you hired Brad. What was his name? He was named after some kind of mineral or something. It was super weird. Quartz, I say. It was a nickname. I haven't thought about that guy in so long. I doubt he's holding a grudge against me after all this time. I fired him right after we opened because I found out he wasn't washing the dishes unless he could actually see food on them. Glasses, plates, silverware, anything that came back to the kitchen from a table looking fairly clean, he just put it straight on the drying rack. If I wouldn't have fired him, he would have gotten us shut down by the health department. You should call the police, Darren says. We have to file a report for insurance. Before I object, Brad appears at the back door, his shoes crunching the broken glass beneath his feet. Brad has been inside taking inventory in order to see if anything was stolen. He scratches the stubble on his jaw. They took the croutons. There's a confused pause. Did you say croutons? Darren asks. Yeah, they took the whole thing of croutons that were prepared last night. Nothing else seems to be missing, though. That wasn't at all what I was expecting him to say. If something broke into a restaurant and didn't take appliances or anything else of value, they probably broke in because they were hungry. I know what kind of desperation firsthand. I'm not reporting this. Darren turns to me. Why not? They might have catch whoever did it. That's the point. I grab an empty box out of the dumpster and start packing up shards of glass. I broke into a restaurant once, stole a turkey sandwich. Brad and Darren are both staring at me now. Were you drunk? Darren asks. No, I was hungry. I don't want anyone arrested for stealing croutons. Okay, but maybe food was only the beginning. What if they come back for appliances next time, Darren says. Is the security camera still broken? He's been on me to get that repaired for months now. I've been busy. Darren takes the box of glass from me and starts to pick up the remaining pieces. You should go to work on that before they come back. Heck, they might even try to hit up Corrigan's tonight since Bibbs was such an easy target. Corrigan's has working security, and I doubt whoever it is will vandalize my new restaurant. It was a matter of convenience, not a targeted break-in. You hope, Darren says. I open my mouth to respond, but I'm interrupted by an incoming text message. I don't think I've ever reached for my phone faster. When I see the text isn't from Lily, I deflate a little. I ran into her this morning while I was running errands. It was the first time we've seen each other in a year and a half, but she was late for work, and I had just received the text from Darren informing me we had a break-in. We parted somewhat awkwardly on the promise that she would text me once she got to work. It's been an hour and a half since then, and I still haven't heard from her. An hour and a half is nothing, but I can't ignore the nagging in my chest that's trying to convince me she's having doubts about everything that was said between us in the 5 minutes exchange on the sidewalk. I'm definitely not having doubts about what I said. I might have gotten caught up in the moment, and seeing how happily she looked and finding out she's no longer married. But I meant every word I said to her. I'm ready for this, more than ready. I pull up her contact info on my phone. I've wanted to text her so many times over the last year and a half, but the last time I spoke to her, I left the ball in her court. She had so much going on, I didn't want to complicate her life even more. She's single now, though, and she made it sound like she was finally ready to give whatever could be between us a chance. However, she had an hour and a half to think about our conversation, and an hour and a half is plenty of time to form regrets. Every minute that passes without a text is going to feel like a whole damn day. She still listens as Lily Kincaid in my phone, so I edit her contact info and change her last name back to Bloom. I feel Darren hovering, looking over my shoulder at my phone screen. Is that our Lily? Brad perks up. He's texting Lily? Our Lily? I ask, confused. You guys met her once. Is she still married? Darren asks. I shake my head. Good for her, he says. She was pregnant, right? What did she end up having? A boy or a girl? I don't want to discuss Lily because there's nothing to discuss yet. I don't want to make it more than what it is. A girl, and that's the last question I'm answering. I focus on Brad. Theo coming in today? It's Thursday. He'll be here. I head inside the restaurant. If I'm going to discuss Lily with anyone, it'll be Theo. And that concludes the end of chapter 1.